It's just incredible what God has been doing. I'll tell you what, should I say it? It'll scare people away. I don't want to scare people away. I'm trying to build this into a mega church. We're almost there. we're getting so close. We're getting closer. Joni, why don't you come up here and just give us a 60 or 90 second explanation of what we experienced on Wednesday at the School of Revival. I'll just tell you this. When we have had the School of Revival, be it Detroit or now here, there has been supernatural manifestations of God, very unusual ones. In Detroit, we saw the visible mist of God's presence three times. There was gold dust actually coming out of a girl's scalp. That was actually prophesied, and then it happened. There was anointing oil that would manifest on a young man's hands every time we worshiped. And, you know, I'm the guy, I have no patience for anything that's fake or invented or manufactured. I don't want any of that. I believe God would frown on that quite seriously. But when it happens, you can't deny it. You can't just kick into denial and say, no, that never happened. Well, on Wednesday night, I was actually a little bit late getting down into the room, just 5 minutes late, because I had to finish up something. The students were already going after it, and I walked down into the room, and they're just all walking around like this. It was kind of unusual. Usually we're going for it and praying in tongues, and they're just walking around the room like this. The moment I walk into the room, I smelled very distinctly this aroma of flowers, and I'm like, wow. What is that? And they're like, do you smell it too? I'm like, I smell it. Every student experienced what Joni's going to share with you here. Are you ready? Sure. All right. This is powerful. Understand, we don't go chasing after signs. We don't do that. But when it happens, it builds our faith, gives us an understanding that God, he operates way outside the box. He just does. And the way I've described it, I guess a little bit of a crude way, is that like a snail, when a snail moves across the concrete, what does it leave? It leaves a trail. When God moves, he leaves a trail sometimes. There's things that happen. There's residue of his glory, right? You know. And so anyway, come on up, Joni, and just share a little bit what happened.
All right. Well, it was awesome. I've had the privilege of smelling a few different fragrances before, but it had been a while. When we were at Stonebridge, he gave us frankincense, which means portal to God, which is really exciting because that's what John's creating here, is a portal to God. So this week, on Wednesday, I'm looking for all of the meanings here real quick. Let me get to the beginning here. Sorry. We smell apples, which means freedom. We smelled cinnamon, which is the fragrance of Jesus. Cookies, which is heavenly manna. Flowers, which is the heavenly realm. I think gingerbread was one of them. Word made palatable. I'm trying to go quick, sorry. Lemons, which was refreshing. Oil, which is the anointing oil. I know I'm missing some, but I'm scanning real quick here. Flowers, this one was roses. I'm not sure. There were so many different fragrances we were smelling. Roses is Jesus' sweetheart. It's pretty sweet. Vanilla, pure word of revelation. Linen was clothed with his righteousness. So it was incredible. Everybody was very encouraged. Everybody in the room got to smell it. So that was new for me, because usually I'm the only one and I look like the weirdo. And so I was a little bit hesitant to be like, guys, do you want to come smell it? Because I was smelling it when I was praying, and I thought, you know, I like flip a coin, you know, do you share, do you not share? Is everybody going to think you're crazy? And I was like, fine. I just had a word that day about it was actually Amy who said, I see that you're like sitting in front of a table of spiritual blessing and you're inviting everyone over to it. And I didn't connect all the dots in the moment, but when I smelt it, I was kind of like, do I share? Do I don't share? And then I was like, everybody come here. I'm smelling flowers. Do you all smell it? And everybody smelt it. So it was an incredible, incredible time. And in some of the smells, you could feel weightiness. It was weighty to it that you had to actually sit down, lay down. There was weeping, like his presence was so thick. It was, to me, is what I would call, it was just a heavenly kiss. And so he just loved on us, and we were very blessed.
Yeah, and amen. It was so unusual that, I mean, the way it worked is... I mean, it was very, what's the right word? Weighty, I guess, is the word. And Greg cried for 20 minutes straight. I mean, just tears, just not, you know, people are laid out on the ground. And it was so unusual to where you know, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I would smell oranges. Has anyone ever done like soaring over California, like at Disney? It's a ride. And all of a sudden you get all these different smells and then you go over the orange groves and you smell oranges on the ride. It was just like that. So I'm sitting there and smell oranges. I'm like, I was trying to figure out what it is. I'm like, what is that? And then And it means sweet companionship of the Lord. And then someone else said, that's oranges. I'm like, yes, that's oranges. Well, you could move 1 foot over and you would not smell it. And you would go over here, you smell lemons. And you'd go over here and it'd be linen. I mean, it was so interesting. And I didn't tell anybody. I'm looking up the air conditioning ducts. I'm like, did our landlord maybe clean the ducks with lemon or something? But it got to the point where it was over 15 different scents were just filling the room in very specific spots. And I'm just blown away. I just can't tell you. Anyway, so I just, you know, this is one of the reasons why we're not a mega church. It's like Revival X or the Sniffers. Or the Sniffers. Andy, should that be a t-shirt? It should be a t-shirt. The kabod of God on your bod, that's a t-shirt. And then the Sniffers. It's like the Quakers. And so... don't put them together. That's a good idea. Thank you for that wisdom. I'm so glad we have that in here. Phew. Definitely make those t-shirts, but not together. All right. We're going to move from that into the Word of God. This will balance us out. All right, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that you do operate way outside of our box. You do surprise us. You know, why do supernatural things happen? You know, people might ask, why would God do something like that? Why would God manifest in an unusual way? And, you know, the reality is he is just there. He's simply there. And when he's there, he shows up as he is. And God, you also love just to prove yourself. You love to reveal yourself. You love to increase our faith. And so, God, here at Revival X, we're always grounded, the cross, the empty tomb. Lord, we're always in that place, repentance, surrender. But we also believe in the glory. We believe in the kabod of God. We believe in the Shekinah. We believe in the fact that you love to move in our lives. But God, I pray, Lord, as we kick into this message, that we would understand that in order to see this on a city level, in a region, that there's a whole lot of work to be done. Help us understand how to get the job done. We love you. And we all said, amen. Amen. So part two of this series. It'll only be a two-part series. Tear down and build up. Tear down and build up. And you can put that slide up there, Jed, if you want to. And you can all look at what this is all about. So there's some tearing down, but there's some building up. There's some new growth there. And but again, it's a process. We can't really presume to start building in enemy territory. The enemy's going to just annihilate the new building, right? If you think in the natural, try to build in a war zone, the building's not going to make it. It's going to be taken down. But we need to tear down. We need to war. We need to battle. We need to take ground, take dominion, advance the kingdom. And as we do that, then we can see the kingdom of God advance. We can see new life come. We can see things built. And just as a point of review, we're in Jeremiah, and you can, if you have your Bibles, you can open there. Jeremiah 1, just very quickly. I think this is an 8-point sermon. I got through 4 points last week. So the first point, based on Jeremiah 1:4, it said, then the word of the Lord came to me. So the first point in this message is we must hear the word of the Lord. We've got to learn how to hear his voice. We've got to be able to do that. If we can't do that, then we really can't even get started. You know, what is God saying? What is he saying to you? What is the prophetic message? So that was point number one. You know, what did Jeremiah hear? Point number two, you have to deal with your fears expediently. So God speaks, he gives you a mission, gives you a mandate, and I tell you what, your flesh rarely likes that stuff. Your flesh very normally would resist. Very often, fear might rise up. You got to deal with that. You got to deal with your fear. If you're dealing with fear, anxiety about something, you got to power through that. You got to get delivered. You got to get that demon out of you. You got to do what you got to do in order to deal with your fears, because excuses at this point won't work. Insecurity complexes won't be a good argument. Can't do it. All right. Third point, God's word transferred from Jeremiah's ears to his mouth. So this point is you move from servant to warrior, where for someone who's just, you know, I just simply want to kind of be kind of casually connected to God. But wait a minute, oops, I heard the word of God, and oops, there's something going on, and I've got to get rid of my fear. Now I got to start actually acting on this. I've got to open my mouth. I've got to decree and declare this. I've got to speak to the mountains, and they have to move. I've got to advance. I got to take dominion. I've got to do this stuff. And so that was the third point. You've got to start speaking him. And, you know, Jeremiah 1:9 says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. If God puts his words in your mouth, understand that the mouth is something that needs to make noise. It needs to release the word of the Lord. And then the fourth point, it's a question, what has God set you over? What has God set you over? What is your mandate? What is your calling? What is your mission? What are you to tear down? What are you to ultimately build up? What are you called to? What causes you to wake up in the night and pray? What causes you to come alive? What's burning in your bones? What is that thing? Need to know what that thing is. What has God set you over? Because he will give you authority in that. And some of this other stuff that you're involved in, you're not going to have any authority. A whole heck of a lot of people out there struggle. They don't understand why they're struggling. Well, it's they have no authority to do it the way that they're doing it, to focus on the things that they're focusing on. God says, if you do it my way, if you do this, yeah, I put this in your heart, I put these words in your mouth, I called you, focus here, and you're going to have a whole heck of a lot of authority. You're going to be able to do some stuff. You're going to be able to work some miracles. You're going to be able to plow ahead. You're going to be able to blaze some trails. You're going to be able to do some things. This is where the supernatural happens. You got to be in the sweet spot of the Lord, right? And so that was the fourth point. Now today we're kicking into point number five. Point number five is this. Understand the strategy of the enemy. The enemy opposes us at the place and in the opposite way that God wants to bless us. So when you're moving, you're advancing according to what God has called you to do. Yes, there will be miracles. Yes, there will be authority. Yes, there will be strength. Yes, you'll come alive. All of that's going to happen. But it's also at this point that the enemy is threatened. He's threatened. And so we need to understand what his strategy is so we can oppose him. Bible tells us we need to know, we need to understand the schemes of the enemy. What is he doing? And we know, Amy and I have known just throughout our lives, watching us advancing, watching the enemy responding, that usually he overplays his hand. We'll sit there in the moment and there's some sort of an attack or some sort of something going on. We're like, man, this is nuts. This is like three things in a row. The enemy is overplaying his hand. Obviously, this is not just circumstance. Obviously, this is not just some happening. This is the devil. This is the devil. His scheme, his plan is clear. And then your faith increases because it's like, this isn't just happenstance. This is the enemy. We're going to fight the enemy. We know we have all authority. We have authority over all the power of the enemy. And so we're going to win this thing. Jeremiah 1:16 says this, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. You know, for example, God has given us, you know, instructions to contend in intercession, to minister to him. You know, we want to offer incense to God, but the enemy is turning the tables. He wants incense to be burned to other gods. And get this, this is an intercession ministry. This is what God wants for us. That's what he has for us. And so the incense, it's right here, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. You know, the incense, the Bible talks about this in various places. The incense needs to rise, needs to go up, right? And as that does that, then we can take ground, we can advance. But the enemy wants incense burned to him. He wants incense burned to him. What are you doing? Is there anything in your daily life that maybe would qualify as incense burned to the enemy? Maybe it's a low-level addiction. Maybe it's a low-level idol, right? Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it is lust or sexual sin like we prayed about earlier. Maybe it's something like that. And is there something? Is there apathy? Is there something going on in your life to where it would qualify as incense being burned to the enemy? Pray on that. Talk to God about that. Is there anything at all? Because burning incense to the enemy is what he wants. The devil wants our worship. He wants our incense to be burned to him. So the fight here is obvious. We must tear down worship and offering to idols and to other gods and anything other than the living God. Analyze your life. Some of you, maybe you're in a place where let's say you're given to fear and anxiety, and it's gotten to the point where you refuse to deal with it. Comes a point where you're starting to burn some incense to the spirit of fear and anxiety. Comes to a point. I'm not saying that it happens right away. I'm not saying it's at the early stages of the struggle. But there are people that settle in and just accept that, and they have given up the fight. Right? Same thing with pornography, same thing with anger, same thing with pride, same thing with selfishness, and on and on and on. And it's really easy, and I'm going to do my best to make it really hard, but it's kind of easy to walk into a church and to lift your hands and to pray in tongues and to jump and dance and to strike the pose and worship God and offer incense to God just after you've been offering incense to the enemy. That should not be, right? Should not be. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you are, do not quit fighting the enemy. The moment you quit fighting the enemy and you embrace what he's doing is the moment you're in a little bit of trouble. You can't fight the enemy on your own. You just can't do it in terms of just mind over matter. Can't do it. Some of you need deliverance. Some of you need freedom in that way. Some of you got to take some steps, right? You know, there's times, you know, I've in our lives, one time we went to this young mother's home and did this house cleaning, and she had to get rid of some things. She got rid of how many bags? 6 lawn and garden hefty bags full of witchcraft materials, including an altar with ashes, right? She was literally burning incense to the enemy, burning ashes, right? She was doing that. And so we needed to clean that house out. Some of you need to go home. You gotta do some things. You gotta get rid of some things. I'll tell you right now, some of you got stuff on your phone that maybe I should just collect your phones and take a look. Boy, they got quiet. I knew I was onto something. Kathy's like, here, look at it. Joni's like, look at it. See, that's why they went to the School of Revival. They understand how this works. Listen. There is music, there's media, there's stuff. Come on. It ends up being incense to the enemy. We've got to tear down those altars. Otherwise, you will not be successful. You will not succeed. You will not be full of fire. You will not be full of power of the Spirit of God. You just won't. I'm not saying this to shame you by any means. I'm saying this because I want you to come alive. I want you to be free. I want you to be full of power. I want you to work miracles. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cast out demons. I want all of this to be going on in your life. If you're burning incense to other idols, it will not work. You know, ask yourself what gods, little g gods, are holding you back. What's holding you back? God has put words in your mouth, and it's time to fight. All right, point number six. Remember, we're talking about tearing down and building up. Understand God's strategy. We must prepare. Jeremiah 1:17. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. Dang, that's intense. We need to know what God's strategy is. We have no option but to hear the word of the Lord and to speak it. We cannot be dismayed. Again, we must defeat fear, or we will be dismayed by our enemies. Some of you right now, maybe, some of you watching or listening, or those of you here, you may be dismayed by your enemies. They may be troubling you, and you have not yet really fought them. God is saying to hear, to speak, and to tear down the works of the enemy. God wants this to happen in your life. Got to speak. Some of you got to do a whole lot more speaking than you're doing. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the demon. Speak to the issue. Speak to yourself. Speak in Jesus' name. I command. I decree. I declare. Devil, I resist you. I rebuke you. Self, I'm telling you, John Burton, step into what you're called to. John Burton, wake up. Rise up. Move into it in Jesus' name. Speak. Mountain, impossible situation, I command you to move, right? And so we need to be speaking, and we cannot be dismayed by the enemy, depressed, discouraged, right? Disillusioned, don't want to move into this place. There are a lot of people out there right now, as things are happening in church world, and there's a lot of people that are giving up on God, they're giving up on the church, they're scattering, they're hiding in their homes, they're dismayed, they're discouraged, they're disillusioned, depressed, and they're just giving up. There's a lot of people out there like that, people that I know that are doing that, and it's tragic. We need to speak and we need to advance, right? God will reveal the enemy and his strategy against him, Jeremiah 1:18. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against his princes, against his priests, and against the people of the land. You know, God's calling us. He's calling kings and priests, even here to Revival X, people that are ministering to the Lord, people with a kingly anointing. He's calling people like this. This is interesting, but there's princes and there's kings in the demonic realm too that God wants to expose. Here in Branson, you've got to know there are kings and there are priests that the enemy is using in Branson and in this region. That would be true for any city. And God wants priests, people that burn the incense, that the worship goes up, people that are ministering to the Lord right here in Branson. In order for this to happen, we must fight the opposing spirits, the priests, the kings of the land. There's a spiritual parallel here. The enemy has attacked the kings, the priests, and the people of the city, and we must push these spirits back now. We must do this. All right, seventh point, number seven. Again, let me give you a quick recap. Number one, hear the word of the Lord. Number two, deal with fear. Number three, speak what God said. Number four, ask what has God set you over. Five, understand the strategy of the enemy. Number six, understand God's strategy. And now number seven, fight with all you have, for God is with us. James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This was originally a military term, to rage in battle against. To rage in battle against. Victoria Boysen said this: my daughter Cassandra had a dream. In the dream, she was at a Christian campground. It was nighttime and everyone was asleep except her. She was awake because she felt something was wrong. As she lay awake in her bed, she saw out her window a raging fire, and it was headed straight toward the campgrounds. She ran to the camp officials and frantically told him that he needed to get all the kids out of the camp because of the fire that was headed their way. But he did not believe her and told her she was crazy. She ran to a window and opened it. She screamed at him, wanting desperately to convince him, look, there is a fire out there. But he just rolled his eyes at her and told her to go back to bed. In the dream, Cassandra's friend heard her screaming and ran to see what was wrong. She showed her friend the fire. She believed her, and they ran to safety. The two girls were the only two who made it out of the camp alive. The rest of the people were burned while they slept in their beds. When she shared this dream with me, I thought of how it reminded me of the church at this time. How passively we endure the onslaught of the enemy without really realizing we are at war with him. The enemy has sent a consuming fire to destroy us, and we remain asleep while he advances. While he advances. Remember, point five was that we needed to understand the strategy of the enemy. This is a battle, and it is much more intense than we realize. Many years ago, as a brand new young youth pastor in a big old church in Texas, the Lord showed me a vision, a very clear vision. And the vision was of a massive dragon. And it wrapped itself around the sanctuary, and its tail was up here. This was a big, big sanctuary where I was. And wrapped around that way, and his body was around the back and around this way, and then his neck was up here, and his head was resting right on the platform, this dragon, this fierce demonic dragon, and his head on the platform, and he was sleeping, completely asleep, and he was unconcerned about anything that was going on in the church. And the fact that his head was on the platform, it represented that he was unconcerned about what leadership was doing. And it was such a striking vision for me. The Lord followed it up with another vision, and he showed me a bunch of young people. I was a youth pastor at the time, and just a bunch of young people standing in military formation, a whole bunch of them standing at attention. And then all of a sudden, they took a turn. They're looking this way toward the platform. Took a turn, looked directly at the dragon. When they looked at the dragon, he suddenly rose up and he started breathing fire to consume all of the people that were staring at him. What I saw next just was incredible. All at once, all of these people opened their mouths and they released fire and consumed the dragon. These were fire-breathing Christians. Absolutely saturated in prayer, in intercession. And they consumed the dragon through intercession. See, they were on a mission. They understood the enemy's strategy. They understood, right? God was giving us understanding. What is God saying? What is the enemy's strategy? What's the enemy's strategy in Branson? And so we need to fight. It's more intense than we realize. We were created to fight. That's, you know, our prayer time before the Tuesday and the Sunday morning service is called fight. We're to battle. What it really means, if you look it up, it means to wrestle earnestly in prayer. That's what that word fight means. Jeremiah 1:19, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. So there will be a great fight, but the Lord has promised victory as long as we fight. The victory doesn't come just by quote unquote standing in your faith, kicking back on the couch, chilling, relaxing, right? That doesn't work. We can't do that. If we fight, he promises victory. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So that's what we're about, right? God has called us to demolish strongholds. Remember, tear down before we build up. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You know, there's people out there that say there is no fighting to be done. You know, Jesus said, it is finished. And they're just radically confused about what's finished, right? Jesus' job is finished. That doesn't mean our job is finished. It's foolishness. Just read the Bible and you see there is a lot to be done. You know, a lot of people just hope for the best. I go to church, I do good, be good, raise my hands, pay my tithes, right? Try to be a good husband, try to be a good wife, try to be, you know, and so I'm just kind of trying to live a good life, and they just hope for the best. It doesn't work. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. The scripture tells us we are to fight, we are to demolish strongholds. Are there strongholds in your life, strongholds in your family, strongholds in the region, right? They're there because you haven't destroyed them. Right? You haven't destroyed them. That's your job. We demolish strongholds and arguments. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Again, it says this, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's what we are to do. So we look around and we discover if there are any strongholds in our city and any arguments that set itself up against God. If there is, we have no choice but to fight. We fight. There are issues to be dealt with. We are God's chosen instruments of battle. You got to know that the enemy is fighting. You know, I mean, this morning I was on Facebook for a moment, or last night, whenever it was, and it was this morning, and a pastor, a friend of mine, showed a picture of a broken window, broken in his church. Someone throws a rock through his window. Then I stumble upon, some of you might have seen it, a pastor, a minister in Australia. What was his name, Greg? Bishop Emmanuel, something. Showed the video. I was watching that in Isaiah Saldivar video about this. And he was attacked, just like I'm standing here right now. Someone walks right and starts knifing him, slicing and attacking and knifing. And thank God he survived. Understand that the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. I thought how cool it was that after this pastor was in recovery, he said, I forgive him. I forgive him. He said, he's my son. I forgive him. I bless him. And I'm like, how amazing is that? Yet here we are, and Isaiah was talking about this too. Here we are. We're not even fighting the enemy. We're losing to the enemy. This guy forgives somebody who's trying to kill him, knifes him, trying to knife him to death. And here we are, all agitated, upset, and mad at people that don't like us on Facebook. We can't even forgive them. We can't even forgive family members. We can't forgive friends. We can't forgive pastors or people that have hurt us. We just can't. Yet this guy was almost mutilated, sliced, diced, destroyed right in front of his whole church. On live media, he's live streaming. And the natural response is, of course I forgive him. He's my son. Not only did he forgive him, but he received him. Yet we can't do that. We can't forgive people? What's up with that? I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm not saying that there's not hurt in process. I know. But we have to fight. Is that true? We have to fight. We have to battle. Strongholds need to be destroyed. We need to take those down. We have to fight. We are God's chosen instruments of battle. In Romans 13, 11 and 12, it says, "It is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Victoria Boysen said this, "Everything God has fought for was for us. He has given us the keys to the kingdom of darkness and commanded us to plunder it. Our faith without deeds is like having a gun but not using it. It cannot be life as usual anymore. No, we must realize that we are at war and fight. The day of our salvation is at hand, but it will not be acquired passively. We have allowed Satan to deceive us. He has infiltrated our minds and conned us into thinking that we are at peace, that all is well. We have slept while the enemy has tried to destroy us. We have slept while churches have been pillaged. We question our authority in Christ while our children's hearts have been stolen away by the enemy. Church, we have authority. God has given us authority over all demonic activity. We must use it." Amen. Fighting is more than thinking good thoughts, praying good prayers, and just believing we are victorious. It's way more than that. There is wrestling, decreeing, declaring, moving into new demonic territories every day. There is much to possess. I went into the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me, right? That's a great song. I have threatened my family. I'm the worship leader around here. I've threatened my family. I did it yesterday in the car. I said, maybe we should just have like an all 80s worship, 1980s. And they started crying. No! And then Amy said, this was a great idea. How about we have an all Carmen worship day? That was Amy's idea. Amy was in the spirit, right? I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. The problem is he shouldn't have ever stolen it in the first place, right? Our guard was down. Why is our guard down? See, fighting is more than thinking these good thoughts and hoping for the best. We got to wrestle. There's much to possess. We've got to figure out how this works. We've got to pray. We got to contend. Matthew 17, 15, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire, often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, he's like ripping them, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. The child was cured that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we cast it out?" Jesus said to them, "Because you don't believe. You don't believe." I said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and he was kind of like, dude, there's like nothing smaller than a mustard seed, and you don't even have that kind of faith. You have like no faith. It's like mustard seed faith, itty bitty tiny. You know, you don't even have that. He was ripping them. He said, if you have faith like that, you'll say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Right? We got to be people of prayer. We got to be people that fast, that surrender. We've got to be those people. Other critical weapons that we have include faith, knowledge, righteousness, time, giving our time to all of this, not being double-minded, being unified, submitted, being full of joy. There's a load of scriptures. I'm not going to share them all with you. You can look all that stuff up, but we have weapons. We have a lot of weapons that we can use. All right, point number eight. Point eight of eight. Now, after 7 points of fighting and tearing and ripping, now we build. Now we build. Again, super quick. Number one, hear the word of the Lord. Number two, deal immediately with fear. Number three, speak what God has said. Number four, Understand what God has set you over. Number 5, understand the strategy of the enemy. 6, understand God's strategy. 7, fight with all you have. And here we are at number 8, build. Jeremiah 31:4. And I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. Jeremiah 31:28. Just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. Ezekiel 36:35. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Now the evangelists will have a huge harvest. Now the teachers will have new students. Now the pastors will have new sheep. Building will come after the demolition of Satan's stronghold is complete. I'm going to end with this quick story. Gives you an example. When we were in Manitou Springs, Colorado, and a lot of you know about that place, steeped in witchcraft and the occult, and the Lord had given me a vision of a vortex, and I saw this vision, really a whirlpool, a dirty whirlpool. I saw all sorts of filth in it, you know, even needles, drugs, things. I saw it in the vision, this vortex, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, John, this is a spiritual vortex, and I'm praying on this and wondering what I'm supposed to do about that there in Manitou Springs. And, well, there was kind of a top secret mission of very high ranking intercessors from the area and neighboring states. And they gathered together, and there was a class and a workshop and a school and different things going on. And part of their practical was coming out to Manitou Springs to do some on-site intercession and prophetic revelation and warfare and some different things like this. So we did a variety of things, and we were praying through the town. And when we got there's this place called Rainbow Falls, and we wanted to go to Rainbow Falls. We got down. It's just this waterfall right there in Manitou Springs. And so we were walking toward it, and the closer we got it, I started looking around, and I was feeling it too, but there's these intercessors. They start doubling over as they're walking, feeling just the weight of serious demonic activity going on there. And the closer we get, the more heavy it is and the more intense it is. And we get down there, and I was blown away. I saw what I saw in my vision. Right there at the bottom of the falls, I saw this vortex. And it was dirty, and it was filled with trash, and it was filled with all sorts of stuff. It was murky and muddy, and it was a vortex. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, John, this is a spiritual vortex right here. There's some very dark demonic things that are going on. So he started revealing that to me. Of course, the other intercessors already picking up on it. And the Lord gave revelation about blood that has been spilled, about abortion, about different things that have been going on. And it was very, very powerful. Well, we of course kick into prayer, and I had the church there, so they looked at me as a local authority, and so I prayed, I made decrees, made declarations, and we felt something break. We felt it break. Well, it was absolutely incredible. I believe it was. So that was a Friday, and the next day was a Saturday, I think. And so we did, you know, basically we're spiritually cleansing this Rainbow Falls. Well, the next day, I'm online, and I see the local paper, and there is an article that said Rainbow Falls and Manitou Springs cleansed. And I'm thinking, whoa, what is this? And I start reading this article, and I'm reading through it, and it said, on the day after we were there that there was a group of people that went to Rainbow Falls, and they started cleaning the graffiti off of the rock faces and cleaning trash and doing all sorts of stuff there. And I'm reading through the article, and there was a point in the article where it said Rainbow Falls is known to the Native Americans and those who are involved in metaphysics as a spiritual vortex. My jaw about hit the ground. I contacted Rebecca Greenwood. She was giving leadership to this. Some of you may have heard of her. If you've not, you need to definitely look her up. She's an author and big into warfare and these types of things. And I got in touch with her and I showed this to her. She was blown away. She included all of this story, including the newspaper article, in her next book. And so that whole story is in one of her books. But that's a very small snapshot of what I'm talking about today. We tear down the demonic, we tear down these altars, we cleanse, we break, and then all of a sudden we can build up. And now if you go to that place, it's beautiful. You go there now, it's beautiful, it's like a state park, it's incredible. And so I just, stand up with me, I just want to encourage you guys. Think where you are. You know, I know a bunch of you, you know, we've been doing this and we go after things and hopefully we're pressing on toward a lifestyle of sin. Hopefully we're not there. Some of you might be struggling still. I don't know. I don't want to presume. But, this isn't necessarily an environment where, though we are big into repentance and holiness, that, you know, week after week after week, we're just nailing you on sin. Because I'm believing that we're maturing and we're growing together. So I don't believe this moment is mostly about your sin, though it is partially. If you're dealing with something, you really need to deal with that. You need to fight. You need to repent. You need to surrender. You need to go to war. You need to tear down altars. You got to do these things. Beyond that, we need to start to understand what our mission is, what your mission is personally, what's happening here in this region, what needs to be torn down, what altars need to be torn down, what demonic strongholds need to be torn down, what needs to be dealt with. We need to start to figure some of that out. What personally for you, what needs to be torn down? Corporately for us, what needs to be torn down? How are we going to build? You know, a lot of what we do in, for example, in the school or in just different things that we're doing, a lot of it's tearing down. For example, what was it, 2 weeks ago or three, we had deliverance in the school. And I don't believe we would have ever experienced the visitation of God with, you know, the aroma of the Spirit of God if we hadn't gone through deliverance. Also, after going through deliverance, there were new levels of freedom and new levels of authority and new levels of breakthrough, right? And so we had to tear down. We had to repent. We had to renounce what the enemy was doing. The deliverance had to happen. The demons had to go. From that point, God's like, all right, now I can start to build something, and I can start to visit, and I can habitate, and I can do some things. I mean, who here wants in your life things to be torn down so that that stuff can happen in your life on a regular basis? The manifestation of God, the glory of God. Wow. Amen. Yeah. So let's just lift your hands to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. God, first of all, let's deal with it. If it's a dark, just a sin, a demonic issue, something that we haven't let go, maybe it is, as I was hitting on earlier, maybe it is you've given in to anxiety, you've given in to fear, you've given in to lust, you've given in to some of this stuff, and you just give up. You're depressed, disillusioned. Some other type of sin, something going on, some other, you know, you're burning incense to another god. You're burning incense to the enemy. You're participating in what he wants you to participate in. You're worshiping the enemy, you know, just like this girl's house, and we brought out all of this witchcraft material and an actual altar with ashes. And well, maybe in the spiritual realm, there is an altar with ashes that you've been burning stuff there for the enemy. And the Lord's saying, you got to be done with that. You got to be done with that. Quickly repent and start to fight. Start to fight. I have words to put in your mouth. I have a mission to give you. There's altars to be torn down. There's freedom. There's breakthrough. There's life. I have things ultimately for you to build up. So if that's you in your life and you're burning incense to the enemy, I'm telling you what, just get rid of that. Just be done. Be done. Renounce it. Repent. Fight. Learn to fight. And then beyond that, what has God put in your mouth? What do you see coming? What are you called to build? What are you called to build? It's different for everybody. It's different. Some of you called to build the most anointed, incredible, phenomenal home. You're supposed to do that. That's your thing. In the home. Some of you called to build a women's ministry or men's ministry. Some of you are called to build, you're called to write and be an author, and you're called to, some of you are called to build in the marketplace. It's supposed to be an anointed marketplace where the kingdom of God is advancing and altars are being torn down there. But what's God calling you to? Corporately. Here we are corporately. How are we going to see these altars torn down? We need to pray. We need revelation. Just like we had deliverance here in the school recently, demons coming out. We need demons to come out of the region. How cool would it be if people drove into Branson and they say there's supernatural scents of apples and lemon and anointing oil and frankincense? And I mean, I don't know that God will do that, but how cool would it be? I tell you, when he's manifesting and there's a habitation of his glory, things will start to happen like that in a region, not just in a service, not just in a church. Jesus, we're asking right now that we would move into a place of freedom. We would move into a place of battle. We would move into a place of speaking the word. We would tear down altars. You would give us a passion for the things that you've called us to. I pray you'd give us a vision, God, for ultimately what is to be built. The ruins are not supposed to remain ruins. There's a spiritual vortex of some sort. There's something spiritual in this region. How do we replace that? How do we tear that down and see life come? How do we do that? Lord, we just bless you. We thank you, God. I'm going to just ask the question. Is there anybody here where you know just personally that you feel that you've been a little too haphazard, a little too casual? And I know it sounds really severe and it's like, dang, I don't know if I can raise my hand to that. It's just kind of how it works when we let the enemy into our lives. Who feels like you've been burning some incense to the enemy? Is there anybody here? Let me see your hand. Yeah? 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 All right. Who's ready to stop? You're ready? You're done. You're done. Yeah. And who's ready to start fighting like you've never fought before? Is there anybody in this room you're ready to fight because you know that God is moving and something's coming? Lord, in the name of Jesus, first of all, those that have been burning incense, there was several. Those that have been burning incense, we are coming to agreement right now with them in prayer. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the enemy and we say, you're exposed and you're done. You are exposed and you're done. We rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. We renounce you. You must leave. You must go. You can't stay. In Jesus' name, you're done. You have been exposed. You are done. We renounce the activity of the enemy. We renounce an alliance with the enemy. We declare in Jesus' name, we will not burn incense to you anymore. No more. It's done. It's done. We will not entertain you. We will not worship you. We will not casually sit by and just align with you. We will not. We will fight you. We will resist you. We will rebuke you. We will expose you. You are done. I'm declaring today in the name of Jesus that freedom is here. Freedom is here. Life is here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Devil, you lose. You lose. You lose. You lose. Come on, God. Come on. More. I pray you would pour out your spirit even right now, Jesus, in a greater degree, a greater level. Come on, some of you are going to have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You're going to have to allow yourself to go to that place where God absolutely overwhelms you, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it, what doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You just let God be God. Devil, you lose. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We are free. No more chains. And God, now I pray that you would give us eyes to see, Lord, what you're doing, what you are going to be calling us to build, how we are going to advance, how we tear down the enemy strongholds, how we do all of this, God. Give us a mission. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. We were born for this hour. We bless you, God. Come on, give it just a moment, just a moment. Just love on him. Come on, God. Come on, pray in the Spirit. If you do that, come on, pray. Come on, some of you have been convinced that this is too hard, that you can't break free, that you can't do it. Some of you have been convinced, you're just convinced. Some of you convinced that there's no big deal, there's no issue. God's saying, you better break free. You better go after this thing. You better not entertain this anymore. You can't do that. You can't do it. You got to break free. I'm here to help you. I'm here to set you free. I'm here to set the captives free. I'm here to deliver. Holy Spirit, more. Come on. Come on, if you feel that there is a stronghold in your life that you are just done with, you're done playing games, you can't just sit by and just kind of ignore it anymore, and you've got to find freedom, and you don't know how, but you've got to find freedom, and you're willing to take that next step, I want to see your hand. Wave it. Wave it so I know who you are. You're done. This is your moment. You are ready to find freedom. I don't see any hands waving. You're ready to find freedom. Is there anybody? Okay, I see a hand. Is there anybody? Okay, if your hand is up, get up here to the front. Come on. We're going to take a little bit of time. We're going to do this. I was tempted to let you go. We're not going to do that. Come on. Come to the front if this is you. Come.